Now comes Sri Aurobindo's answer to this argument. In the history of thought, this formulation is a very original formulation to this question. So we shall study it rather very carefully, although it's two lines, but these two lines are very important. But if you take a more deliberate view of the world's workings, that direct opposition appears rather as part of nature's profoundest method and the seal of her completest sanction. It's a very difficult sentence. So we shall wait a little on this very important line. We shall not run over it saying it's the last line of the paragraph. But last line of the paragraph is a very, very important line. So even if it takes half an hour more, do not worry. We shall stop here and try to understand what we mean by philosophical argument is illustrated in this particular line. What is the nature of a philosophical argument? You remember we spoke of logical argument or epistemological argument. We spoke of historical argument. We spoke of dialectical argument. Now we have another form of argument. You might say the most essential philosophical argument. The argument which is the heart of all philosophy. You remember that while defining philosophy, we had asked Anandmayi to read it, and we had underlined one very important word. Philosophy is a quest. Can you read once again so that everybody listens to it? What is the definition that you have made of philosophy?
Philosophy is a quest for knowledge pertaining to all domains, including the quest for perfection, both individual and collective, which results in the formulation of an idea or ideas pertaining to the totality, which includes all that we see and experience or think of, and beyond that which may or may not exist, in search of the presence or absence of meaning of all, beyond all and all particulars.
Now there the last phrase is very important. The meaning. If there are all kinds of quests in the world, if there is one quest which distinguishes itself from all others, it is a quest for meaning. No other domain looks for meaning as much as philosophy. It's the heart of philosophy. Philosophy starts with the quest which would embrace all domains of knowledge. All facts can be put together. And even if you have all the facts before you, it will still not be philosophy. If you miss out a question, what is the meaning of all this? You may know all the facts, but if you are not inquired into what is the meaning of all the facts, you are no philosophy. Science can give you all the facts. Each science, of course, may give you knowledge of a given domain. But if you put all the sciences together, you may still not get the meaning of all the facts. It requires a very special quest. Philosophy points out that human being is not satisfied merely with the quest of knowledge of facts. There is something in human being which looks for something else. And that is the quest of meaning. Of course, philosophy even questions it. There may be meaning, there may not be meaning. But you can announce that there is no meaning only after making inquiry into meaning. You can't at the outset say there is no meaning, therefore no question of discovering a meaning. It is only when you inquire that there is there a meaning, make that inquiry, then you may come to the conclusion there is no meaning. You may say that everything is idiotic in the world. But after inquiring whether, is it really idiotic? Therefore, the most essential philosophical argument is connected with what we may call a decision to inquire with the assumption that there is a meaning. Grant that there is a meaning. Then afterwards you may come to the conclusion there is no meaning. So real philosophical argument is to start by stating that there may be a meaning in all that you are seeing. Now, so Sri Aurobindo uses the word, but if we take a more deliberate view, this word deliberate is very important, but if you take a more deliberate view of nature's, of world's workings, you are inquiring as to whether there is any meaning. You take a deliberate view, is there any meaning that nature is producing contradictions? We saw last time that the highest dialectical arguments present to you thesis, antithesis, and a synthesis which again produces antithesis and so on. Having stated it, you should ask the question, why does it happen? Is there a meaning in this kind of a movement? Why is there an opposition at all between the actual and the ideal? Why is ideal not actual? Is there any sense in it? Is there any meaning in it? So Sri Aurobindo says that if you take a deliberate view of the world's workings, then you will find that direct opposition appears rather as part of nature's profoundest method and the seal of her completest sanction. This kind of an opposition that we find is a part of nature's method and profoundest method. Nature is so omnipotent, it has such a tremendous capacity that it can hide its truth completely. Not abolish it, because that is impossible. Nature can never abolish the truth, but it can hide, and hide completely. So nature has many methods of manifesting, but one of the profoundest ways by which nature can manifest is to hide itself completely. Whatever truth, whatever light is there in the world, in the light, in the supreme, that light it can hide completely. And it can manifest after this by all kinds of oppositions. Therefore, the world is full of a manifestation that appears as having lot of contraries, oppositions, contradictions. So whenever you see contradiction, do not withdraw and say, oh, it is invalid. Mere presence of contradiction, if you declare therefore invalid, mark of invalidity, you are making a mistake. If you know how the nature is working in the world, where you find an opposition, beware that there is something, some message to be taken out of it. If you really look for a meaning, it's a meaning. If somebody opposes you very much, do not be worried. Do not be afraid. There is something there ringing all the time which wants to awake you. There is some light in it which is hidden. It is an invitation to uncover it.